Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
So Brian Stultz joins us now. He's a demographer at Florida State University. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning.
So I gather when the U.S. Census Bureau releases 11 billion pieces of information, you just like flip out completely.
It was a very busy day trying to process all that information.
Well, take this, WikiLeaks. The U.S. Census Bureau has released, I guess it's some of the census data, the new census data or the most recent census data, 11 billion pieces of information. Can you give us some of the highlights?
Sure. What we were looking at particularly was segregation in metropolitan areas across the United States. And what we found was for African Americans, we found that they're still very highly separated from whites across the country, although there's been a slight decline since 2000. We also looked at Hispanics and Asians, and for those groups found that Hispanics are still relatively segregated from whites, although it hasn't really changed much since 1980. For Asians, there's less of a degree of separation from whites, but it has increased since 1980 with a particularly significant jump since 2000.
What places are likely to remain as segregated as they were one or two generations before, and what places are likely to have exhibited this change you've seen?
Well, particularly for blacks, where we see very high and persistent levels of segregation are in the sort of Rust Belt cities, really ranging as far west as, say, Milwaukee and Chicago through Detroit, Cleveland, all the way over to Boston, New York. Where we see lower levels of segregation are in the kind of western and southern cities, metropolitan areas that have a high amount of new housing and a lot of growth. Those are areas where we see lower levels.
And, you know, Latinos, which you talked about a moment ago, are living in different places than they were a generation ago. How is that working?
Sure. It looks like for both Latinos and Asians that there's an increasing movement away from those kind of immigrant destinations, those gateway cities that typically were receiving a large proportion of those groups. It looks like those groups are either moving away from and into the suburbs or just directly settling upon immigration in suburban areas rather than those big gateway cities.
You know, this is not a surprise, but it's really saddening to read once again of the five counties with poverty rates higher than 39%, four contain or are in American Indian reservations in South Dakota. There's a persistent demographic issue that really has not responded to social change over the last 10, 20 years.
Sure. I mean, we talk about a lot about segregation of African Americans and how that's influenced high rates of poverty, the concentration of poverty. But when you start looking at Native Americans, that's an entirely different situation because those levels of segregation are really off the charts. That's a sort of imposed segregation from the past that has led to very high concentrations of poverty and other disadvantageous characteristics.
And the census has released really perhaps the best symbol of bipartisanship that exists in the United States. Whether the White House is Republican or Democrat, Washington and its suburbs are some of the most affluent, highly educated people in America.
Yes, that's absolutely true, and it doesn't seem to change much over time.
So the government grows and Washington benefits.
That does seem to be the case.
All right. Brian Stultz, a demographer at Florida State University, studying some of the data, 11 billion pieces of information released by the U.S. Census Bureau. Thanks, Brian.
Thank you, John.